I don't know. I mean, I've had many afternoons of prep for preaching in the evening, and this afternoon I had the privilege of doing something for a first time as prep for an evening service, and that was taking Gabe Phillips' washing out the tumble dryer. And each time I took a different item of clothing out, I felt the Lord reveal new things. It was amazing. I'm not going to share all of those tonight because we don't have enough time, but it was a powerful moment. A really powerful moment as I took Gabe's clothes out of the tumble dryer. You should ask him for the privilege of tumble drying his clothes sometime. Ask him. They carry the anointing. They carry an anointing. I don't know what it is, but there's definitely an anointing. And then so it got better. So I thought we prayed for someone. Then I came to church. I thought I'm just going to take a moment and just prepare a little bit outside. So I went outside and Quinton decided to lock me outside. So I ended up having to phone him, do you mind just opening up? I'm outside. So it's been an interesting afternoon of preparation for tonight, but I'm really excited. Are you excited? Come on. It's really cool to be here. Thank you so much for listening to some of our story last week. Feels a bit weird getting up and people hearing your stories. I want to hear many of your stories, but obviously I understand those dynamics, and we're going to do life together. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear some of the challenges. How Colin got to look like George Michael, and it's an amazing thing. I'm feeling naughty. You'll get used to this. Glenridge, you're used to this. When I'm feeling naughty, it's a problem. But I will try to behave myself. Can I pray? It might help. I can't promise anything. Jesus, we just come before you now. We thank you for the joy and the life that you give. Thank you for the grace that you pour out, that song says you lavished on us, Lord. You just lavished your grace. You just poured it out, and we didn't need more, but you kept pouring, and you kept pouring. And we just say thank you now. We're just incredibly overwhelmed by your goodness, your mercy, the love that you poured down. Thank you for the testimonies, the stories. Lord, I pray for that young man with that back issue. I pray, finish that thing, God. That he would be strong, that back would be strong right now, God. You can do it right now. Without a hand laid on him, you can do it, Jesus. I just say thank you. Thank you, God. Amen. So Candace, my wife, is not here. Our kids have been all over and running around. And so she's at home relaxing a little bit, which is good. With our new little baby, Daniel, who has been an absolute blessing. And we are here and we're starting a new series, and we started in the morning last Sunday morning. So I just wanted to get us up to speed. I want to make sure that I know many of you come in the evening only, and that so if you have come in the morning and you've heard some of it, I don't apologize. Because I trust it'll come differently, and I know God is doing things. He's stirring things, He's stirring our hearts. One of the things Rory Dyer, who is a big noisy man who I love a lot and has been amazing to me, said that in transition, God does two things. He does it for more land and more glory. Not an expansionistic program, but more land being more inheritance. That God has more salvations in the city, more influence for this community. Not the pulpit of this community, the people of this community, into this area, into this city. That we would have more influence to take down the strongholds in the city. Not like pea shooters at a mountain, but God filled power and authority to take down the powers and principalities of the city. That's more land. That's more salvations, more influence, more effectiveness. That where we had plowed before and sowed before and we didn't see fruit, all of a sudden you go back and God just says, throw your seed on the other side and there's life and there's fruit and there's abundance. And then more glory, that at the center of who we are, if God isn't at the center, if His presence isn't at the center of everything we do, we're just another club. Yeah. We're just a bunch of people looking together with another bunch of people, and we're getting together. But with God at the center, we are a world-transforming group of people. With God at the center, situations change. Atmospheres in cities change. Do you know in the Welsh revival, when they began to sing, when they began to worship, and that song, How Marvelous, came out of the Welsh revival. That coal miners, who were the roughest people in the world, got so radically changed, they went back down and they were polite to their donkeys. So their donkeys couldn't even follow them. Their donkeys like, why are you not swearing at me? I don't know what you're saying. They couldn't get their donkeys to move because all of a sudden they weren't swearing and they weren't cursing. Because when God gets in, He brings revival, He reforms situations, He reforms cities. He needs to revive the church. He needs to revive you and me, put a spirit of revival inside of you and me so that we can bring reformation to the city around us. Okay, I'm getting excited now. Are you excited? And He's calling us to more land and more glory, where His presence will be at the center. And how's this? Ephesians 2, and in Him, you too, the church, the people of God, are being built together to become a dwelling in which He lives by His Spirit. You understand that? That we together, that in me, there is the Spirit of God, but in us together, He is building up a dwelling where He would dwell amidst us. That God, not Jose from down the street, God would dwell amongst us.
Yeah.
That's who we are. That's why we worship. Love seeing people around the sides, just abandoned. I'd love to lose these chairs. I'd love to lose the comfort zones that hold us, that hold us safe. I'm held. I know I've got insecurities. We all do. I want God to strip off the fear of man and strip off insecurities and strip all these things that hold me back from just experiencing the fullness of worship. You know, we've only just begun to understand worship. I've been in church for 20 years. Actually, I've been in church for longer than 20 years, but I've been in Glenridge for 20 years, and we worshiped our guts out. And I've sweated when we didn't have aircon, and I've sung loud songs and soft songs and danced funny dances and stage dives and done chicken dances. All. In 20 years, you get to do a lot in church. And but we've only just tasted. And the Holy Spirit is revealing to us more and more and more of who God is. And more of how we can please Him in our worship. How we can offer up sacrifices of praise that are glorious to Him. That's exciting. And then part of this transition of more land and more glory is there's a corporate element. There's us together going in and taking hold of. But there's also individuals. If you would take a hold of God at this time over this community, if you are part of this house and this family, take a hold of God. Take a hold of Him for your marriage. Take a hold of Him for your future. If you are praying for a marriage, take a hold of Him for that. If you are praying for a future, take a hold of Him for that. If your family are unsaved and you are here, take a hold of Him for more land and more glory in your family. Take a hold of Jesus at this time. This has got nothing, it's got very little to do with Wally and I and what's happened. It's got everything to God doing. I'm calling you up to higher ground. You know the stories. Armies held the higher ground because in the higher ground there is advantage. With the Spirit of God inside of us, adopted, with the Spirit of God inside of us, there we have advantage. We have the willing formula. Not some every day is a good day, every day is an amazing day, you're going to rock every day. Some days are going to be tough. Some days are just going to be tough, but God's with us.
Yeah.
He's dwelling in us. He's for us. And so we're going to take higher ground, and the way we're going to do it and are doing this is looking at the Lord's Prayer. A very simple series, just to start. Just an amazing, amazing prayer. At the end, we're not going to say it now, we're going to say it together at the end. Is that good? Okay, let me not go there. And we start off this prayer. You know the prayer. Can we have the prayer up and we'll say it together at the end? But who said this prayer at school? I went to a school of 1,200 boys. My standard 6 year was the first year of transformation in schools. It was the first year of non-white applicants to the school. And it was an amazing thing as I looked over the school and we together got together where before some of those students wouldn't have been allowed in that school, there would never have been students from Asian backgrounds, from all sorts of different backgrounds in that school. All of a sudden, we're together and we're saying, Our Father. It's an amazing thing. God has done an amazing thing in our country. And He starts, and Jesus starts with it and says, yes, it is about prayer, and it is about Jesus showing us how to pray, but it's far more than that. He's speaking to His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, right in the middle. He sticks this prayer, and He says, if you want to take higher ground, if you want to live a kingdom life of impact and influence, if you want to do that, well, then this is how to do it. Our Father, go to the Father first. Fix your eyes on the Father. And He uses this amazing word. He says, Abba. It's a scandalous word. It would have been a crazy scandalous word. In the whole of the Old Testament, which is like that much of your Bible, and the New Testament is like that much. In the whole of the Old Testament, it only says Father, referring to God 14 times. In the little Gospels, it says it 60 times. Just in those four books. And it's the first time Jesus instructs us to pray to God. You see, they love their big titles for God. They're big titles. They're these big crazy titles, and you've seen them. Mighty Lord of all and Sovereign King of all the universe, which are all true. And Jesus says, just come to Dad. Just come to Dad. I said to the guys this morning, I struggled with Dad. I've called my father Abe since I was 2 years old, 3 years old. I never called him Dad, ever. It's a weird thing. It's just my thing. Had older sisters and they called him and I just followed. My kids now, well, they actually call me Dad, but they call my parents Joy and Abe. So for me, Dad was a bit foreign, but you know what? As long as Dad is in my heart, when I come to God, when I come to the Lord King of all the earth, Sovereign Lord of all, I'm coming to Father. It radically, radically changes everything. And the Bible says, actually, our adoption into the family makes us joint heirs with Jesus. Hence, we cry, Abba, Father. It's the spirit of adoption. Adoption is this beautiful doctrine that needs to be taught. In Durban, we're involved in a home called the Tembeletu that's been running for about 17 years. It is a home for orphans, specifically AIDS orphans. And we've just seen the hand of God on this orphanage. It's not an orphanage, it's a home that holds, they do amazing things, like women from America send breast milk all the way to Africa for AIDS orphans. And we've just seen these little orphans getting adopted, AIDS orphans. And when I say, I'm not talking one or two, I'm talking 30 in the last couple of years. And the most amazing thing, one of these little boys, he was, he's 4 years old, which is pretty old. Most people want a little baby. When you're 4 years old and you're in the orphanage and you're the oldest, you don't have a great chance of getting chosen. And we prayed for this little boy. And he got selected by a family in America who lead a church. And he's got AIDS, full-blown HIV. And he got adopted into a family. You know the amazing thing? They sent the Tembeletu, the teachers there, the people who look after these little babies, asked the family to send a photo album of his new home. And they sent this photo album of his new home, this massive house in this suburb in America. And there were his four brothers and sisters. There was his new granny, his new mom and dad, his new school, his new teacher, his new church, all these photos. And this little guy sat there looking at these photos. See, what God does when he adopts us, he gives us this crazy unfair advantage. See, when Naomi goes into that theater, Johnny, she has a crazy unfair advantage because she is a daughter of the living God. She has adopted, the odds change. It's just like the odds change. This little boy gets adopted from absolute ruin, from a disease that now he will get medication cared for if God doesn't heal him, and we keep praying for healing. He will get cared for, he will get education, all these amazing things. Why? Because of adoption. And it's just a glimpse. It's just a picture of what God has done. Beautiful. A very small, limited picture. And God sees the father to the fatherless. Another friend of mine, who is now an elder in a church, his mother was a prostitute on Point Road in Durban. And she had an encounter with a Greek sailor who was in town for 2 days. And the fruit of that moment was a man named Gary Stain, who grew up in Point Road in Durban, which is not the greatest area. Today, he has married an absolute princess. He knows who he is, a son of God. That God has adopted him. That his inheritance is not looking for some Greek sailor out on the ships, looking to his Father in heaven. This is amazing. Yeah. And Jesus says, if you want to take higher ground, if you want to take higher ground in your marriage, in life, in the dreams, take a hold of the Father. Allow the Father to reveal his love and his grace for you. And some people struggle with this because of their natural earthly father. And Jesus says he knows that'll happen. He says in John, he says, those who have seen me have seen the Father. So we look at the Bible. What does it say about Jesus? Where it says, a bruised reed he will not break. What's a bruised reed? It's just like a reed that's broken. You look at it, you think it's... Just break it, throw it away. Jesus says, a bruised reed the Father will not break. I don't know how bruised you are. Don't know how broken. Don't know what your father was like. My father won't break a bruised reed. My father restores bruised reeds. And he just starts us there. He says, actually, if you want to take high ground, start there. But then there's this incredible thing, because if there's a father, and I'm going through it pretty quickly tonight, but if there's a father, there's a family. And so he starts off with this word that we mull past quickly, and we just shoot past, our father. We live in the most radically individualistic world. As cities are getting bigger, people are getting more and more lonely. There are more and more suicides linked just to loneliness. And yet there are more people more connected with more Facebook profiles, and we can poke each other, and we can super poke, and we can like, and we can unlike, and we can and just hide the news feed, and we can do all these things. But it's not real connection. There's a tactile touch that a baby needs from a mother. It's the same that we need from others. So God, Jesus, puts at the front of this prayer, says, to start off, it's our Father. It's not my Father. And the church is catering. I was in America last year, and I was shocked at how individualistic the church is. It's church starts at 9, you're out by 5:10, next service is in at 10. There's no coffee, there's no tea. You come in, you get a great preach, you get three songs that are exactly the same for the 5 services, and you just carry on with life. And I'm sorry, but church is more than that. Yeah, church is more than that. I've got to touch, I've got to interact, I've got to... You know who's got to teach me? The poorest man in this church. You know how much I can learn from him? And we live behind the walls of the church, and we throw money to projects out there. We throw money to the poor 10 Ks away. And Jesus says, no, 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 that's not what I designed. I designed the poor to be in your midst. And it's a radical thing. We got an aircon system put in Glenridge, and excuse the analogy, but it's powerful. And we were so thankful for the aircon system, and this man came in off the streets. His name was Russell. Russell must have got beaten up every second week on the streets of Durban. Russell had no chance. And Russell came in, it had been raining, and then it was blisteringly hot one day. And Russell came in and he stank. I mean, he just smelled. He just smelled. And you know what happened? It got in the aircon system of the church. And the whole church began to smell. But God did something amazing in that moment. We went to him. I was leading worship. I said, guys, I can't lead worship. I went down Russell, took him out, got him clothes, got him showered, got him shaved. And told him that God had adopted him. Told him that he wasn't Russell of the streets. He was Russell, son of living God. And Russell began to tell me his story. It's a radical thing. I got a phone call today from my mom. It was my mom's phone. 12, I was in the foyer, 12:15, we were leaving church. And I answered, hi, mom. No, no, it's Wayne. Sorry, Wayne. Who's Wayne? No, it's Wayne from Glenridge. Wayne is this man who came to Glenridge about 3 months ago. He's an addict. He lives on the streets of Durban, selling pencils at Robots. And Wayne became my mate. And I bought Wayne food. And my mom phoned me today because Wayne wanted to speak to me because he's had an opportunity to go to rehab. Someone's paid for him to go to rehab. But before he went to rehab, he wanted to get baptized. And my dad baptized him at North Beach in Durban today. And this is Jesus. This is our Father. I need Wayne. I need Wayne to reveal to me ongoingly the goodness of the living God. I need Wayne to remind me that it's purely the lavish grace of God that somehow gets poured over me because Jesus poured his grace upon me. I need Wayne. And we've got it all wrong. And we think we've come to minister to the poor. We are the poor. I'm the poor sometimes in smallness of thinking. In smallness of, I'm just poorer for it. And God says, together, our Father, as Father over this community, I will hold, I will reveal, I will shape, and I will form those edges off you. I thank God for our Father. You know, when I was 20 years old and I started going out with this beautiful, amazing girl called Candace Enslin, now Van Pletsen. At 1:15 in the morning, I was at her house. I was studying till 9:30 every night at lectures. So the only time I could see her was after 10 o'clock at night. Not a good idea. Just saying. If you're a young man, 20 years old, not the best idea. And our Father put me together with a brother who was 10 years older than me. That brother had worked late, was going home at 1:15 in the morning. He saw my car outside Candace's house. He got on his phone, he phoned me. He said, "Mark, get in your car and go home. What are you doing there?" I said, He said, "Get in your car and go home." He fought for my inheritance that moment. And you can think it's pushy, you can think it's many things. Who knows what he saved? Maybe I wouldn't be standing here today if he hadn't made a 2 rand phone call. It's a radical thing. Our Father. Not my Father. Just stories. Just our Father. We buy into this individualistic thing. And you know what happens? I said it last time. In the garden, we're all together. It's all good. And Adam and Eve get scooped out of the garden. Cain and Abel come along. And what's the first question? God says, "Where's your brother, Cain?" Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He's just killed his brother. And the first question is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The first thing when we're out of the presence of God is Wally my brother? Why must I look after Wally? Why must I look after Duran? Why must I fight for their future? Why must I be praying for their marriage? Am I his keeper? It's a radical thing. And God says, "I put you in a family. Our Father. I'm going to put people around you." We spoke of in this book of Nehemiah, there's broken walls and broken gates and just brokenness. And a man who's sitting in luxury sees the brokenness and says, "I've got to go." When last did you have that moment? Just, "I've got to go. I've got to go to that home. There's brokenness there. I just got to go into that situation. Did you see that young man today? I've got to go." I've been watching that young man who plays his guitar with the afro, Brother BP. What's his story? What's his story? Why does he stand there in the wind and the cold just playing his guitar like no one's around? I tried to find him the other day. I couldn't find him. Because of our Father. Because he's an orphan if he doesn't know the Father and he's looking for a family. Yep. It's a radical, radical thing. And so we go and there's the story. Just the broken walls. We're not going to read it. I'm just going to tell. Is that a right story? Is from time. I'm just going to process through. There's these broken walls, and Nehemiah is this young man with gifting and call on his life, and he's rocking it in the king's halls. And he sees the brokenness. He says, "I've got to go. I've got to go." And he begins a building project. And because of our Father, 24 times in Nehemiah 3, it says, "Next to him, and the daughters built them, and next to them, they built, and next to them." And the one guy built 500 yards, the other guy built just a gate. But you know what happened? The walls got built. Protection came to God's people. It's not just the married men's job in this community to pray for the single ladies. Yeah. It's some of you 14-year-old young men. Brilliant. It's not just the older ladies' jobs to look after younger ladies in marriage. It's all of our job to pray, to care, to protect. When I do a wedding, the first thing I say is, if you're here, you've been invited to witness these things. If you ever see him step out of line, remind him of these vows. And I can tell you, I've done it. I'd rather lose a mate because I stood in courage and confidence fighting for his future than stand back and stand away. Our Father, not my Father. It's a radical thing. And then he says this amazing thing, "Our Father who art in heaven." See, here's where the church gets stumped. He art in heaven, we art on earth. Okay, that's a little bit funnier there. I'm going to say it again. He art in heaven, ha. Huh? And we art on earth. Okay, Nick likes it. Thank you, buddy. And R.T. Kendall just makes a statement. He says, God is in heaven, we're on earth. That's a fact. He's this almighty God. He is over. He has dominion over all. It's our Father. Together we come to our Father who is in heaven. Do we know who we're coming to? He is over all. He has power over all. He has authority over all. Why do we hide behind our little safety zones when our King is in control of that zone too? So we step out. We step into. Because He's in control. The most greatest revelation of the sovereignty of God I've ever known was when I was 11 years old. Gee, you're getting all my good stories tonight. What am I going to tell you next week? I was 11 years old. We used to go camping every holiday with a family called the Sitaways. They had a daughter who was my age. Her name was Michelle. And it's called Monk's Carl in the Berg. I don't know if anyone knows it. And there's a 13-story waterfall there, and my family were at the bottom all day, and Michelle and I had to walk right around, go past, and go meet her parents. And she decided to wash her shoes about 40 meters up from the waterfall, and she slipped into the stream. She began to go towards the waterfall, and I ran to go and get her, and a policewoman tackled me. And Michelle went over the waterfall and landed flat on a rock 13 stories below, and she was alive. But every bone in her body was broken. And she died in the helicopter on the way of the airplane. And her mother got up at the funeral. I was 11 years old. It was the greatest theology I've ever learned. Mother got up at the funeral and said, I know this. That God is good. And He doesn't make mistakes. That is theology. Real life theology. You can read books till you're blue in the face. Account of that lady. You know how many people came to know Jesus? You know how many destinies were changed forever? You know how many orphans became sons and daughters because of that testimony? I can't explain it away. I can't even try. There were implications, painful implications. My father got yuppie flu for 7 years because of the guilt of that moment. For 7 years, he couldn't get out of bed before 10 o'clock in the morning, and he had to go back at 3 in the afternoon because of the guilt of that moment. But in and through it all, God had His glory. In and through it all, God works His hands of grace that are lavish. And He washes. And we learn this lesson. Our Father who art in heaven, who is in control over all, who invites us into intimacy and yet is still in control of all. You might look at the world and think it's out of control. It's out of God's hands. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, our Father who art in heaven. It's cool. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And can we just close our eyes for a second? Father. I don't know why it's so tender tonight. I just pray your awe, the awe of the living God would fill this place. I pray we would be, that our scenarios, our worldly, earthly realities that become so big would become small in the light of your bigness now. Just even that line, a bruised reed He will not break, God. I pray heal some bruised reeds in this place, God. Heal some bruised reeds in this place, Father. Right now. Some pains. Heal the bruised reeds in this place, God. If you are wrestling with the sovereignty of God, even that story, you struggled with that story, maybe even struggled with that mother's testimony that God is in control, didn't mean she wasn't hurting. It didn't mean she, every year on that day, she would be broken. All of that is true. But what held her is that God is good. And that this life, in the light of eternity, is just a few minutes. It's just a cameo. Eternity is forever. I pray, God, a settledness in hearts tonight about who you are, your character, your goodness. I pray, just even here, some have been hurt, God. Wholeness needs to come. Wholeness needs to come in this place. Thank you, God. Our Father, who art in heaven, God. It's a radical thing. This, I'm actually not going to carry on. It's, this Christian life is not a philosophy. It's not a good idea. It's not the right thing to do. Jesus hated religiosity. The guys who put him on the cross were the religious people of the day. Can I ask you to just pray this prayer this week? Our Father, who art in heaven. Just say, God, reveal that to me. The bigness of who you are. That when my world becomes big, actually the perspective from your world would be upon me. That actually you are my Father. If you don't have a good image of the Father, you've got to come to the Father. You know the Bible, how the Bible describes the Father? I've heard many descriptions of fathers. Good, faithful, true, loving, protecting. The Bible says, glorious. The glorious Father. The glorious Father. I've never heard a man describe his earthly father as glorious. And the Bible says, actually, he's glorious. This Christian walk is, please make it more than religion. Please make it more than Sunday. Make it real. Access our Father. And when we stand in the schools, when we stand in our workplaces, take people by the hand and say, our Father. And show them the Father. See, my job for my boys is just to show them the Father. Before I'm a pastor, before I'm anything, I'm a father representing the Father. And it's a privilege. So, can I pray for you? Just want to say it's an incredible privilege to be here. I'm so excited. God's got good things for us. And Jesus, we just come just amazed at your goodness and your grace. Thank you that we get to partake in this amazing prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Can we stand? We're going to say that prayer together. Maybe we could just pop the prayer up if you don't know it. Let's just say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Deliver us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. For thee who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thus is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.